Hello and welcome to our program. Today we start a brand new series entitled Let's Face the Facts and Face the Future. Looking in Acts chapter 20, verse number 17, Paul the Apostle is giving his final farewell to the local church at Ephesus. He is leaving and he will not see them again. In verse number 17 of chapter 20, we read, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come unto him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." He said, "You people know where I've stood, and I have stood there at all seasons." Paul wasn't the kind of person that would just wait, see which way the wind's blowing, and then change. No, he was the same all seasons, in season and out of season. Verse 19, he said he was serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now, you would be many tears and probably a lot of temptations, and I would too if the Jews or anyone else were lying in wait to kill us. Well, in verse 20, he went on to say they knew how he kept back nothing. He said, "I kept back nothing, and that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and unto the Greeks, repentance, we've dumped that lately. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We can come up with our new damnable heresy. But Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And then after repenting, he says, "Repentance unto God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that word faith is talking about the doctrine, what we believe. In verse 28, he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." A lot of information in that verse. He said, take heed to feed. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, number one, and take heed to all the flock, not just the ones who put the most money on the plate. God is no respecter of persons. All the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. You're just an overseer. We need to be very careful as pastors not to take ownership of what does not belong to us. And then he says to feed the church, to feed the church. We need to have healthy sheep, and the job of the shepherd is to feed the sheep, which God, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He purchased it. It's his. Well, back here in verse 18, he called the elders together and he said, "Ye know from the first day that I came." Here's what you know. And in verses 2 through 7, he told them what he had taught them. But then he said in verse 29, "Now I know," this is something I know, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Wow, grievous wolves are going to enter in among the local churches. They're doing it today. They did it back then, not long after Paul left. Within 40 years, that church was a byword. It was in serious trouble. "Well, not only this," he said, "grievous wolves will enter in among you. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So you've got those that are going to enter in. They're wolves, but they look like sheep. They look like sheep. We need to look around and try to figure out who's who. It's a very serious age in which we're living in. Years ago, A.W. Tozer wrote, "So skilled is error at imitating truth that the two are constantly being mistaken one for the other. It takes a sharp eye these days to know which brother is Cain and which brother is Abel." Well, we're living in that age when the wolves, grievous wolves, are entering into our churches these days. They look like sheep, by the way. They're in sheep's clothing. "And then of our own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. There's a lot of perverse things being spoken these days in our so-called fundamental independent Baptist group. A lot of perverse things. And we need to be very careful to face the facts and to face the future concerning the perilous days that we are living in. Well, in verse number 35, Paul, as he's going to say goodbye to these people, he says, I have showed you all things. I've showed you everything. I've not kept anything back. Today, we keep this, you know, the hard things back. Just give them the smooth things. Preach unto us the smooth things. Don't tell us anything that'll get us upset, because we'll just run off and find some tickle me Elmo pastor who will tickle my ears if you get me upset. So we don't teach all the counsel of God anymore, because we might lose some people. Well, let me say, as we said on our last broadcast, the Bible's very plain about that. It says in the last days we are to preach the doctrine, and as a result of preaching sound doctrine, the Bible says that they'll turn away their ears from the sound doctrine, they'll turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned into fables. So if you're going to preach the truth, you're going to lose people. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Well, we read in verse 36, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Oh, they loved him. They loved him. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Now that's kind of nice, but they should have been sorrowing over what he said, not because they're not going to see him anymore. Well, what was Paul doing? He was doing what he said we're supposed to do. He was speaking the truth in love. And as we said in our last broadcast, to do that, speaking the truth in love requires speaking. Speaking the truth in love requires truth. And speaking the truth in love requires love. And Paul loved those people. And he didn't hold back. He said very plainly, I have not kept anything back that was profitable unto you. Well, church at Ephesus. He called the elders, and Paul warned the pastors at Ephesus, but they did not listen. He said, as we saw here in verse 28, take heed. That phrase is in the Bible in 55 verses. And then he said in verse 28, feed the flock. 1 Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Take heed and feed. Watch out for the grievous wolves that is entering in among you. And he said, watch out for those who are already in there. Take care of the problem of your own men. They shall going to arise speaking perverse things. Be careful. He's given these pastors. He's talking to pastors here. He said, now, do your job. Well, the problem that arose was not taken care of quickly, and their local church was in serious trouble in just a few short years. It says in Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, the wise man said this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, churches do not get sick on their own. They get sick because either the pastor plants the seeds that'll make them sick, or he allows someone else to plant the seeds who come in and they'll be speaking perverse things, or he hasn't got enough discernment to figure out who's a wolf and who's a sheep, or if he does, he's just not going to take care of that problem. Well, it'll destroy the church if we don't. Well, the first years at that local church in Ephesus were great years. The Bible gives us more information about that church than any other church in the New Testament. And then the book of 1 and 2 Timothy was written to the pastor of the church, who was given the responsibility to deal with the problem. And finally, we have the words of Christ in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, concerning the sad condition of the church only 40 years after it had been established, and his rebuke was sharp. Now, it's very plain. Look at it in Revelation chapter 2. The message was sent to the pastor. Now we say, you know, the letter to the seven churches. No, no, no. It's a letter to seven pastors, and they were to preach it to the churches. That's very plain. But he said to the pastor, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Well, at the beginning, when Paul started that church, he took the sincere believers from the rest, and that's important. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, it says he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers or many were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. You see, Paul wasn't interested in building a big group, building a building, getting a paved parking lot, putting a bunch of chariots out there and impressing other pastors. He was going to take the disciples, the learners, he's going to separate them, he's going to have a remnant, and he's going to teach them the truth because the others aren't going to listen anyway. Well, the fall was gradual. In Acts chapter 19, the church at Ephesus was in excellent health. In the book of Ephesians, the church was in a declining health. By the time we get to 1 and 2 Timothy, the church was in a critical condition. And by the time we get to Revelation chapter 2, that same church was sick unto death, and the pastor was to blame. 1 and 2 Timothy places the cause of the problem directly at the feet of the pastor, as does the Lord in Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read it again in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, "Remember therefore, pastor, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now the pastor had changed. He said, go back to the first works. God charged the pastor. He said, "You've left your first love." Now he does, you know, that quite often gets quoted, he lost it. He didn't lose anything. He left it. That's a choice. The pastor's separation was commendable. He said that the pastor had tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. The pastor's stability was commendable. Verse 3 says that the pastor had borne, that is, he had not abandoned the truth, and had had patience. Tribulation worketh patience. And for my name's sake labored, and hast not fainted or grown weary so as to shut down. He was commended on his separation. He was commended on his stability. But his shortcomings were not commendable. Verse 4, Christ spoke to the pastor. He rebuked him and said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Now that's an interesting thing. What is his first love? As a Christian, our first love should be Jesus Christ. As a father, our first love should be our children. As a husband, our first love should be our wives. As a wife, our first love should be a husband. As a mother, our first love should be our children. We have these different titles. Now, the pastor had left his first love, and that is, as his responsibility as a pastor, his first love, his primary love, should be the sheep. Take heed. Feed the sheep. Watch out for them. Watch out for those wolves. Watch out for those people from within that are going to be bringing in their perverse things. Watch out for them. No, he left his first love. It wasn't the importance of the people anymore. Somehow it turned into the importance of the program. And so what did the Lord say? Remember, repent, return, or else. He said, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, return, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place." Interesting. He said again, "Except thou repent." And it's interesting here that he calls it his candlestick. Now, is it your church or is it the Lord's church? In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Here, by the time we get to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he says to the pastor, "I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." And God makes no idle threats. 5 of the 7 churches that are listed here in Revelation were eliminated by the Lord because the pastor failed to do things God's way. Well, in Acts 20 and verse 17, Paul's talking to the people at Ephesus, the pastors, and then he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, written to the pastor of the church who was given the responsibility to deal with the problem. And the first thing Timothy was charged was to stop those who were teaching false doctrine, to stop those who are teaching false doctrine, unsound doctrine. Now, it says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? That verse usually gets misquoted. It doesn't say they have to agree. It says, how can they walk together except they be agreed? That is, somebody has to compromise. So as you look into the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy, in those two books, we see the erosion of Ephesus, the local church there. Now, an erosion is a gradual destruction. 1 Timothy 1:3, some were teaching false doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:6, some turned aside unto vain jangling. In 1 Timothy 1:19, some made shipwreck. In 1 Timothy 4:1, some departed from the faith. In 1 Timothy 5:15, some turned aside after Satan. And then in 1 Timothy 5:24, some sinned openly, and goes on to say in that verse, some sinned secretly. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, it says some coveted after money. Then in 2 Timothy 5:24, some erred concerning the faith. 2 Timothy 2:18, some had their faith overthrown. And then 2 Timothy 2:20 says some were vessels to dishonor. And out of that whole group, when God sums it up, out of that whole group, there were 2 Timothy 2:20, vessels to honor. Some were vessels to honor. Well, as you study the scriptures, we see that God has always had a remnant. And there it is right there, verse 20, chapter 2, 2 Timothy, some were vessels to honor. Well, we're living in the last days. In fact, I think we're living in the last of the last days, and I would pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The world is a mess. But we need to get our head out of the sand. We need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. The fact is, we are living in perilous times, and what are we going to do about it? If we do not stand true, as we have been taught to do in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, if we don't do it, we're going to lose our young people to the next generation. The wolves are coming in. They're going to be teaching perverse things from within. All of this is given to us. These things happen unto them and are written for our admonition. Let's wake up before it's too late.